Welcome to Journal Club for January 4th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Diggs. Picture this. You're working on a machine that generates tons of data every time it's turned on. And all that data currently gets stored on your servers in a proprietary way that no off-the-shelf tool can read. The only way you or anyone else can read or use any of that data is by making requests to a UDA, a Universal Data Access application. This is just a bunch of Python scripts that fetch the data and return it to you. But there's a big problem with that system. It's slow. Very slow. Your team members regularly need to pull gigabytes of data out of this system in order to run analysis, but this UDA can only transfer data at a rate of 7.4 megabytes per second. In addition to that, the average latency for a request, so the time it takes before you receive even the first byte of a response, averages 23 seconds. Everyone is sick of this, and the team turns to you and says, "Fix it." What do you do? How do you make this faster? That was the problem faced by software engineers working at a nuclear fusion reactor in the UK, and they took on the challenge of ripping out the old system and building a new one. Today's paper is their story, the story of how they went about it and the results they obtained. This is, in many ways, a system architecture paper, and we'll be walking through the nuts and bolts of everything from their new file system structure to the APIs they exposed, but this is also a paper about design philosophy. The guiding principles they used for this refactoring process are called FAIR, F-A-I-R, findability, accessibility, interoperability, and reusability. So we're also going to dive into that framework because it will help us understand why they made the choices they did. But first, let's set the scene. They're working at a type of nuclear fusion reactor called a tokamak. What is that? What does it do, and what kind of data does it generate? This story takes place at the Cullum Center for Fusion Energy, CCFE, located on the outskirts of Oxford in the UK. There are a number of different types of nuclear fusion reactors in the world, and the specific kind they're working with at the CCFE is called a tokamak. It's originally a Russian design, and the name comes from an acronym that only makes sense in Russian, but roughly translates to toroidal chamber with magnetic coils. If you've ever seen a photo of a fusion reactor that looked like a giant metal donut, that was probably a tokamak. The CCFE, like virtually all other nuclear fusion sites, isn't trying to generate power for commercial purposes. Not yet, anyway. It's a research facility. Before a fusion power plant can ever become operational at scale, a lot more research needs to be done to figure out, in plain terms, how to get much more energy out than we're putting in. If you've heard talk in the media about ignition and energy gain, that's what all that is about. So CCFE, as part of the UK Atomic Energy Authority, is using their tokamak to contribute towards this global goal of making nuclear fusion a reality. That means developing technology, running experiments, which they call shots, capturing tons of data, digesting the data, learning from it, and communicating their findings when appropriate. So it's not a stretch to say that their ability to pull data out of the file system quickly is instrumental. It's core to the reactor's very reason for existing. So the software engineers there had to take this seriously and do it methodically. To guide them in this process, they pulled in the FAIR principles. FAIR is a framework for data management and stewardship. It was developed in 2016 and has since been adopted by research institutions, governments, and private organizations worldwide to help them stay on the right track when they're designing and building data-driven systems. Let's go over what it means. F, findability. Data and metadata should be easy to locate by both humans and machines. A, accessibility. All data should be accessible via standardized protocols. This includes standardized access control. I, interoperability. Data should be presented in formats and structures that allow integration with other datasets and systems. And R, reusability. All data should be well described and annotated to enable reuse in different contexts. The team at CCFE used these principles to help them design what they called FAIR MAST. FAIR for the principles, and MAST refers to the name of the actual reactor, the Mega Ampere Spherical Tokamak. FAIR-MAST is a data management system consisting of a relational database, object storage, REST APIs, and GraphQL APIs. To achieve the first principle, findability, the system pushes the metadata for each shot into Postgres. This includes diagnostic configuration, campaign information, and provenance details. They use a schema that includes JSON B columns that allows them to store complex objects that cannot be easily represented in tabular format, while still allowing that data to be indexed and queried efficiently. They expose the DB by putting both a REST API and a GraphQL API in front of it. The REST API is built with FAST API, and it's used for straightforward queries. The GraphQL API is built with Strawberry, and it's used for more complex and granular retrievals. For the second principle, accessibility, the system utilizes an object storage service built on Ceph, C-E-P-H, which is a fault-tolerant distributed storage platform. Diagnostic data from the Tokamak experiments is stored there as the ZARR format, Z-A-R-R. ZARR is similar to HDF5, it is built for n-dimensional arrays, and it's optimized for cloud environments and supports chunked data storage. This format also allows users to access only the specific chunks of data they need, which reduces unnecessary transfers and improves performance. The whole object storage service is exposed through an interface that emulates S3 and is actually S3 compatible. So that way, any off-the-shelf tools that work with S3 buckets will work with this new system. And that brings us to interoperability. Not only are they using widely used standards like REST and GraphQL and S3 compatibility, but the ZARR format supports hierarchical data organization and metadata embedding, which aligns with formats used in scientific computing. They've also integrated the PanData stack, which includes tools like Dask and XArray, which ensures that the system is compatible with a large number of Python-based data analysis tools. All this put together means that researchers can seamlessly integrate the MAST data into their existing computational pipelines. Lastly, to ensure reusability, their system incorporates detailed annotations for every dataset, including descriptions of variables, units of measure, and provenance info. These annotations are crucial for ensuring that users can understand and interpret the data in different contexts. But it's also worth noting that the ZARR format supports self-describing datasets that include all the necessary metadata within the files themselves, and this helps reusability even more. The public APIs also enable aggregate queries and filtering, which allows researchers to extract derived datasets tailored to their specific needs. Well, that's all well and good, and their system looks and sounds great. But let's not lose sight of the goal here. The whole point was to build a system that was faster. Did they achieve that? In a word, yep. In three key ways. One, the old system's data transfer rate was, as I mentioned, 7.4 megabytes per second. The new system achieves 83 megabytes per second, an order of magnitude faster. Two, the old system's latency was averaging 23 seconds. In the new system, it's 2 seconds. Again, an order of magnitude improvement. And three, the ZARR format allows them to implement lazy loading of the datasets, which means that the users can request to access just the specific chunks of data they actually need. So in total, you have a much more performant system. Less data is moving across the wire, and when it does, the responses start earlier and complete faster. To me, this seems like a job well done. That being said, there are a number of improvements that the team wants to make in the future to make it more scalable long term. If you'd like to deep dive on their new system, walk through all the components they set up, or just get a better understanding of what it's like to work at a nuclear fusion reactor, I'd recommend that you download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.